NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right. Big super duper juicy thick fat squeezable grabbable enjoyable spicy Saturday football day. Welcome to your show. Welcome to the show. And well, I hope you're excited about kickoffs that have taken place. Navy and Cincinnati just kicked off. That should be a good one. We got
who that is.
Penn State, Illinois, they're coming on pretty soon here. We got some good games that are ahead of us, but we're going to talk some sports. We're going to talk, Michigan State
You need to bring up Michigan State because, you know, all that talk when Purdue beat us, they turn around and beat the Kingpin. Yeah, the Big Ten.
Well, we softened the belly for them and made sure they were okay. That's what happens in really, really good conferences. TJ they beat each other up and they prime and prep themselves to be knocked off by lesser teams like a Purdue in those situations.
Well, you do,
or
have
like
a point.
Oregon State.
Have a point. That happens in a Pac-12 every year.
Oregon State has the sunshine on their ass once in their season.
I'll give you guys credit though. Your quarterback doesn't get hurt. If he doesn't get hurt,
we win that game.
You guys win that game.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, we got a pretty.
If it was a fifth.
How Michigan State doing? Y'all better hope y'all keep y'all coach Plax. He gone. They don't get Lane Kiffin, they need to.
Hey, Mel left Colorado to come back home, man. He's not going away. He's very happy where he's at.
If LSU
top ranked football program now, he's not going to LSU. It's not going to happen twice.
If LSU can't get Lane, if
he left Michigan State to go to LSU, it's not going to happen again.
If they can't get Lane Kiffin or one of these big names, Mel Tucker good is gone. Remember, I told you that he good is gone.
He had to stay.
Money talks.
Let's go.
You know what else talks? TJ, and when TJ talks, you should listen.
Because we're Define Aging with them Drive.
Got to.
The supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Mm-hmm. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Mm-hmm. Don't let age beat you. Get M Drive. See, Mel Tucker hearing that, he like, yeah, I feel good. Let me go ahead and get out of here while I can get this money.
All right,
we're just settling in.
We're talking about college, but our guy James Jackson from Straight Facts Podcast, he's talking about someone else on a different level. In fact, on the national football level, we got a lot to get to. Legendary moment, Deshaun Watson conversations. Congress, how does Congress have anything to do with this show? You'll learn about that. Baker Mayfield. We got Rhett Butler from Pretty Left Hook coming on to talk about the Shakur Stevenson fight. That's going to take place tonight, so that should be fun. But right now, hey, fellas, James Jackson, he's on your head.
Oh, yeah! Now, it's Over Like This. I'm on Your Head with James Jackson.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, James Jackson. Welcome back to another edition of I'm On Your Head, presented by the Up On Game Network and Fox Sports Radio. So this is my fourth episode getting on here with you all and doing this, but this segment is not new. I've been doing this for about a year now. You guys can go to my Instagram and see all the rest of my videos at The Real Jimmy J. But for the first time in about a year, this is the first time I've had to talk to a team twice. And that don't really make me happy, y'all. So the Seattle Seahawks. I'm on your head. Things are starting to get real dangerous out there in Seattle, right? Losers of two straight, and now last in the NFC West, maybe the NFL's toughest division, not really a division you can afford to lose ground in. And at this point, they may need to ask the 12th man if they can all suit up and maybe help them on the field at this point. Like, they get a few extra blockers or something, because things are not looking good. And you remember last year, it was let Russ cook, right? Until my man started burning the food. And now it's Chef Geno's turn. But it looks like this man just might burn down the entire kitchen at this point. It's not looking good at all. A 37.4 QBR through a game and a half for Geno Smith. There's only four quarterbacks that have a worse QBR this season. That's Jared Goff, Davis Mills, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. So three rookie quarterbacks and a quarterback who has yet to win a football game this season. That's shaky, baby. And not only are the Seahawks as a team taking L's on the field, but I got DK also taking L's on social media too to Uncle Shannon Sharp. Okay, I know he wears a pacifier mouthpiece, but he can't be that much of a baby to not remember who Uncle Shay Shay was on the field. LeVar, Plex, TJ, I know y'all three remember who that man Shannon Sharp was on the field, right? So someone needs to tell DK to do his homework before we just start coming at folks on the TL. Because that's how we start to take L's, man. I know a bunch of people out there are sleepless in Seattle because this has got to have everyone, like keeping everyone up at night. Things are just not looking good. I get the injuries. Okay, the injuries have the Seattle Seahawks in a very tough situation right now. But Seattle, what's going on, man? I'm on your head.
And that is on the head. Let's start with Club Shay Shay. Let's DK called him little boy. Plex and TJ. He called him little boy. I mean, what was y'all's first reaction when y'all saw the exchange take place between DK Metcalf and Shannon Sharp?
I'll unpack everything that was just said. Number one, Geno, when you're a backup quarterback and you haven't played football in years in a live game, you're going to have some struggles. They're struggling with Russell Wilson. What you think, they weren't going to struggle with Geno Smith? The thing with DK, DK's father played football. His uncles played football. He knows who Shannon Sharp is. He knows who he is. I don't know why he did what he did, but Shannon Sharp is literally one of the best tight ends to ever play.
Ever.
You can't come at him that way. And he realized that, and he backtracked. I apologize, blah, blah, blah. I hope my resume can look as good as yours. But I believe he knew that going into it.
Of course he did.
Like, what happened, Shannon Sharp wasn't lying. Like, when you catch that ball on the sideline, let's just be honest, we all were watching the game.
Get
just
out of bounds.
You step out of bounds right away.
That's it. Get out of bounds.
You don't sacrifice 3 seconds for 2 yards.
No.
Because the time is more paramount. Catch the ball, get out of bounds. Shannon Sharp was right. Why he went at DK, I mean, Shannon, the way he did, I have no idea. But when your dad and your uncles have played in the National Football League, you know exactly who Shannon Sharp is.
Mm.
Man, you can't call Shannon Sharp little boy.
Nah.
That's a Hall of Famer, man, one of the greatest tight ends that we ever seen come through this game. I played against him several times, being in Baltimore, Denver, and all that. But the whole DK situation, man, I had a situation like that when we was playing the Oakland Raiders. We was in a 2-minute drive, and I just made a bonehead mistake to not go out of bounds. And knowing the history of Charles Woodson, that he's a stripper before he tackles. You know what I mean? And he knocked the ball out of my hand. They recovered, and they ended up winning by like 2 points.
Mm.
It's the same situation with DK. I believe the game was 17-14 at the time. If he just steps out of bounds, they come on the field and kick the field goal and tie the game. So it's just not being in the moment, you know, just not being really focused on the situation at hand and understanding the gravity of the situation. But with it all being said, man, you can't come out there and disrespect that man, Shannon Sharp, like he did. And, you know, he took it all back. He apologized. But his resume pretty much speaks for itself. And all you just have to do is look at his stats and look at his numbers, because they don't lie.
Yeah, I think it gets a tad bit redundant to say don't go at Uncle Shay Shay, man. Like that, you know, come on. Like, respect the elders of the game.
I feel you can go – if you want to go at him, go at him.
Yeah.
But don't go at him like he was a bum.
Yeah, and that's the
thing. You can go at him in a different way, but don't disrespect him like he wasn't that dude when he played. Go at him, but not at that angle.
And that's kind of my – that's what I mean. Like, you know, and let's be clear. I don't think guys are bums. If you made it to the league, you playing with house money. That's first and foremost. I don't consider that. You could be a bum by NFL standard, and you could say, all right, you know, I'm gonna come at you, don't talk to me about being this when you couldn't even be that yourself. I could get that, but not with Shannon Sharp. Like, I thought that was a bad move. But here's the bigger point for me on this conversation, on this I'm on your head, is Seattle and and not only Seattle, but the NFC West. Let's be clear here. We have a lot of people come into the season saying that the NFC West is the toughest division. Lot of people have had the conversation once the season got started that this is the toughest division. You have two teams with, what, two wins? Two teams with two wins, I believe. It's a two-team race.
Yeah, the Niners and the Hawks.
You have a really good team in Arizona. I like the way Arizona's playing. They could possibly be the best team in all of the NFL right now. It's debatable between them, maybe Tampa, maybe another team. But it's debatable. But then you look at the Rams, and I say the Rams are good. I thought that they were going to be the top dog in the division, and they're now sitting there at two because they got lambasted by Arizona, but they still look to be like a pretty good team. So you got a two team division that is showing that they have eliteness on those two teams. But I will still say this. I don't know what Arizona is going to do in the playoffs. I have more of an idea what the Rams will do in the playoffs than what I do what the Arizona Cardinals will do. And even though I'm looking at Kyler Murray having an MVP type caliber year, your defense looks pretty good. You won a game. You won games with you know, serious injuries to injuries to your some of your main players. You're still finding ways to win games and win them well. But I'm still not convinced that this Arizona team is trustworthy. It's almost like, and I know we're up on the break, but it almost makes me feel like, fellas, this is almost like a Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens situation where you're seeing somebody now execute at a high level. They're maturing in such a way where they're dominating the regular season. But I don't know if he's figured it out to be able to do it in the postseason.
Baltimore and Lamar didn't have these weapons on the outside that Kyler has. Like they beat you through the air. They beat you through the air. It's a different. They're coming at it differently. But I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's going to be it. So to me, then it now raises the question moving forward: what is the most dominant division in the National Football League? And I got to be honest with you, it almost brings me back to the traditional AFC North. Am I wrong for thinking that the AFC North is still the strongest division in the NFL? Go.
I think right now the AFC West is the strongest division in football.
The West?
Just based off AFC West.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
just KC.
The Chargers.
The Broncos
are the trash. Raiders. You said the Raiders were full gold.
The Raiders are full gold, but you got to give them some credit for coming out and starting the season the way that they did. I mean, you got to give them some credit.
They bounce back. Post Gruden, they bounce back.
Right. So what I'm saying is, you know, I believe that the Raiders are fool's gold, and they won't make the playoffs because of the division that they're in. Because one of those teams is going to win the division, and probably between the Chargers and Kansas City, one of those teams is going to be the playoff
wild card.
It's going to be a wild card. Hmm. So I do think that the AFC West right now is the most competitive division. You can say AFC North, but with this whole Cleveland situation with Baker going down, I just can't see how that's
what you
how
think, TJ.
Tomorrow will tell us a lot about the question you're asking today. If the Bengals can beat or just be competitive with the Ravens, then it's the AFC North. We don't know, like Cincinnati for. They played Green Bay, who we all think is a pretty good football team.
They look good.
Neck and neck. Went down to the wire.
Yeah.
If they can play in a competitive game and possibly beat the Ravens, then it is by far the AFC North because Cleveland beats a Denver team.
They're backups.
Backup
all
quarterback,
backups.
Backup running back,
all
backup
backups.
Tackle.
All backups.
And so that division is tough. But this is a National Football League, man. Say what you want to say. Every division is tough. Some is better than others. Simple.
It's week to week, baby. So we're talking about the AFC North, and we're not going to talk about my Steelers? Like, what's going on?
That's what I'm saying. They're looking pretty good and looking pretty competitive as well. All right, we're going to get to it. I mean, we got a lot to get to, guys. I mean, listen, we got a legendary moment coming up.
That's sad. We did all this AFC North and then bring up the Steelers, who used to be kingpins of it.
Well, I mean, I think it's a given that the Steelers are going to actually show up and do something and be competitive. So I didn't even feel like it was worth bringing up. I didn't want to make it seem like I was a homer and that Plexico was drafted.
Hey, man, I try to do this thing without my emotions involved. Yeah,
me too.
I mean?
That's why I ain't even bring them up. So, I mean, I'll let y'all work that one out. Deshaun Watson rumors. Congress? They're seeking documents. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Shakur Stevenson fight. If you don't know about that, Google that before we get to that segment. That should be a fun segment. Legendary moment coming up. But first, talking about Fool's Gold Plexico. Well, you know, it's that time of the year where you can haul things like Fool's Gold in a truck like the Ram. But for you, it's time for you to get off of your couch and get into the stadium parking lot. All this football going on. The season is totally going right now, and tailgating is in full swing. So this season, do it right. Pack up your coolers, your grills, your widescreen TVs. Load them up in a Ram, the truck brand that's redefining how a truck should be looked at. Ram leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. The first time a truck brand has ever scored this high. Ram trucks, they have rugged durability to haul whatever it is you need, but it also has luxurious interiors to make the drive to every game a pleasure. All right, get behind the wheel of a truck brand that will turn heads every time you roll up to the game. Get ready for football with a Ram truck. Learn more about Ram and what it has to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 J.D. Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. That's T.J. Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. That's Iowa Sam back there. That's Ryan back there. That's Ilo back there. We got the whole squad united like Voltron up in this bad boy. This is Fox Sports Radio. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Up On Game. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this that Up On Game theme song, baby. We some hustlers, baby. We no setbacks, ooh, heartbreaks. Yeah. We done crapped out. We done had some ups and downs, some rounds and rounds. It's all part of the game. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't it the truth, man? Ooh. We still here, though. You know what I mean? Y'all still
know
here.
I mean,
we
I
all
mean.
Here, you know what I mean? If we all here, if we making money on a Saturday, or we just listen to talk about it, you know what I mean? But either way, however you see it, however you do it, we right here together for a little bit of time. All right, so listen, before we get to our legendary moment of the week with the great man, the great, great John Randall, Hall of Famer. If you don't know who he is, make sure you look him up and see what he's accomplished. But before we go into that and have a conversation about, get some feedback from you guys, let's go to Ilo for what's trending. What's up, Ilo?
Fellas, what's up?
Yo, yo.
How about this?
What is it?
Number 3, Oklahoma, okay, playing at Kansas. 5 ooh, minutes and 50 seconds left to play in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. The score is Oklahoma nothing, Kansas 7.
Uh-oh.
1 yard touchdown run by Devin Neal moments ago. I repeat, Kansas leading number 3 Oklahoma 7-0, 5:50 left to play exactly in the first quarter.
Another quarterback change coming up.
I'll tell you.
Relax. That's an all mammal starting right there. You know, we had him in one of our games, Plex.
Oh, is that so?
Oh, word.
Caleb. Right. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, I take that back.
Okay,
number
don't
2.
Don't worry about it. We'll be all right.
All right.
We'll be all right.
What's this we business?
Yeah, well, that's one of ours.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
We claim Caleb. Well, I'm not claiming Oklahoma, but go ahead.
Gotcha. Okay, right. Just wanted to clarify.
Okay,
there.
No worries.
Number 2, Cincinnati and Navy are scoreless. 5 minutes, 39 seconds left to play in the first quarter. 6th-ranked Michigan and Northwestern are scoreless midway through the first quarter. Also going on right now. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Plexico know about that song right there, boy.
No, I don't.
Oregon State would have known. Oh, yes, you do in 98. 98. Plexico know all about this song right here.
What are you talking about?
98, baby.
Oh, I'm thinking about 97 and 99.
98. Michigan State got whooped so bad.
You beat us once in your tenure.
All day.
You beat us one time.
I only started in one game against y'all. Think about that.
It's a team game. We are.
We are. The teams that I was on only beat you once. That is correct.
Who knew?
Thank you very much.
That is correct. That's breaking
news. You know
now. That's all right.
That playing a simple piece of music.
Yeah.
Could incite such dissension in the ranks.
I had a very hard time against the state of that place. Yeah.
All right, just checking.
Yeah. Michigan was a very hard place to win.
Number 7, Penn State and Illinois. After all that, scoreless. 7 minutes and 17 seconds left to play in the first quarter. Number 16, Wake Forest and Army tied at 7. They are 7 minutes into that game. By the way, a footnote on the Kansas-Oklahoma game. Yep. Apparently, in Lawrence, they were so shocked. The scoreboard had a power failure after Kansas scored that touchdown. Huh. Kansas kicking off to Oklahoma right now. One other footnote. The Los Angeles Times reporting last night that Dodgers pitcher Max Scherzer will not start Game 6 of the NLCS tonight at Atlanta because of arm fatigue.
Oh, wow.
Walker Buehler will start instead. Braves lead the series 3-2. Fellas, back to you.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one tonight. See what they do.
Arm fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, man.
What was the last game he pitched? He pitched game two. He pitched in game two, and he said it after the game. He was like, my arm just was tired. You know, when they brought him in to close the game five against the Giants, it just seemed odd. He got him to this divisional round, but it's going to be tough for us. I thought we have Scherzer today.
Tough for us.
Buehler tomorrow. We good.
Now, he'd be doing the whole LA team's lineup. Everything.
Walker Buehler he's going on short rest. He just went on short rest and we lost. Mm. Now he's going on short rest again. We win this game. We winning it.
It's time baby.
But see, this the thing, though. See, Scherzer's 37, so he's not a young man. But what he can do is defy aging with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps get you lean. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive. Come on, Scherzer. We need you, baby.
You better make sure you took your dosage of M-Drive, player. I'll tell you somebody who is naturally M-Drive. My man, John Randall. Here you go. It's this week's legendary moment. Okay.
Up on Game presents Conversations with a Legend. And now, this is your legendary moment.
I ultimately, like a lot of the things that you did, I did. Like that high energy stuff, I did it. That was, I would not allow myself, because of guys like you and Ray Lou, I would not allow myself to not be on 10 when I was playing.
Yes, sir.
That was just what it was going to be. Like, I'm going to play hard. I'm going to try to wear your ass out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I remember that, dude. I remember that. Let me tell you, I talked to Bruce and Thurman Thomas like every week.
That's awesome.
And Bruce and out and Thurman play golf together. I mean, it's this constant conversation.
Yeah.
And the stuff you're talking about, I was going to Dallas for an Emmitt Smith golf tournament. And I would get down there and I was talking to this guy one day. I talked to him again and again and again, talking about pass rush. And I would tell him, I said, when you get tired, because we were talking about when you get tired. And I said, when you get tired, what do? I go, you look down, don't you? He goes, yes. I go, right on your shoes, put finish.
Nice.
Put finish on your shoes. I go, people going to look at it and go like, finish. They're not going to understand it. And I go, when you're trying to be a pass rusher or rushing a quarterback, you're going to do things that just don't make sense.
People
don't understand it.
Right.
I said, you play 60 to 70 plays, and you're only trying to get there one time.
Right.
And you hope you can get there two or three. I go, that's how you got to think. But I had that same, but the person I'm talking about was DeMarcus Ware.
Wow.
And I sit there and just talking to him. I'm like, hey, you're going to be out there. You're going to feel like you're not sure. I go, believe in it.
Wow.
You got to believe in it.
That's amazing to me. Let me put this one in front of you. Let me put this one in front of you, fellas, because I know for certain we have all had our moments and we've all had our times where we have had to deal with, you know, certain things during the course of a game, during the course of our lives. I mean, you know, we've all had some really, really serious things that we have dealt with. You know what I mean? And so have you guys ever had someone that has talked to you and just a OG of the league when you came into the league or when you were in college or even in high school? I had the bus and I had Dwight White when I was in high school. I was actually fortunate enough because of my barber, Dave, shouts out to Dave's Barbershop on Brighton. He's in Manchester now, too. So shouts out to Manchester. Once a Tiger, always a Tiger. You know, I was able to meet a whole bunch of dudes. Dwayne Woodruff was a dope dude to me. Dwight Stone was a dope dude to me. And I got to be around them and be exposed to them at a very, very young age. And it really had a very, very profound impact on my approach to everyday accomplishments, everyday achievements, because I believed I could be one of them because they told me so. And they would give me little stories, little tidbits that I would take into my days with me, and it worked. It worked. Do you guys have anybody in particular that jumps out? I mean, I know for you, Plex, you grew up in a hotbed where you could be going to the corner store and see Sweet Pea walking out and give you a little kidney shot and laugh at you or something to that. So many dope athletes from where you're from. And TJ, I know you done been around some dudes where you come from, and you know, when you was running around Cerritos and somebody said something to you that stuck with you. Give me one.
Nah, to be honest with you, LeVar, When I go back and look at it, as I was listening to you ask a question and you just start trying to replay things in your head, I'll be honest, man, like I didn't have that because growing up playing sports wasn't something that I did a lot. You know, recreationally we would play. But once you got into sports, it's crazy because I saw Prime, Deion Sanders, put this out there. Once you got into sports, and it's no lie, it would be – all the street dudes would, bro, make sure you stay in sports, man. If Indeed. You need anything, let us know, man. Indeed. You don't want to be in these streets like this. But as far as like a athletic figure, I didn't have that because I didn't play a ton of sports growing up.
What we about when you went to the league? Did anybody, was there any OGs that came up to you, old head dudes at the symposium or anything like that?
Not,
that
was not like at TJ? The symposium, because I wasn't y'all two, man. I wasn't supposed to make it. It was, but I will say this, though. When I got to Cincinnati – and as you guys know, when you're a young dude, the vets just treat you differently until they figure what type of person you are. Man, right away, like, I don't drink, right? And so, like, I was a designated driver for all the vets. So, like, I'm driving these expensive old cars, man, because they drunk and I'm taking them home from the club, or they come pick me up when we go. So we got cool from that perspective. On the plane after the games, they got all this alcohol. The rookies got to sit in the middle or the front of the plane. I was the only rookie to the back of the plane with all the vets. They was cool with me. The Tony Williams, the Keeman Henrys, John Copeland, Tequila Spikes, Brian Simmons, all those dudes, they were real cool with me just because of the way I carried myself. But I didn't have that instruction or that direction from somebody that tried to just encourage me or steer me down the right path. I didn't have that at all.
Plex.
Man, I'm going to just comment on the first piece, man. John Randall, man. Wow. Undrafted. 137 sacks later. Six-time, first-time All-Pro, first ballot Hall of Famer. So I've had the opportunity to sit down with that man and really to get into some deep life conversations. And it just made me think of him as a person in a whole different light than the football player. So I appreciate John Randall. But going back to what you said, man, growing up, you know, from where I'm from, and just I think, you know, I had this conversation with my uncle a few, you know, months ago. And you mentioned Sweet Pea, and going back to the whole Sweet Pea thing, you know, being from the same hometown and, you know, being like a mentor to us. I remember we were evicted from where we were living from. And we were staying at the, what was this, the Wayside Motel.
Plex, you grew up like your boy.
Yeah, sitting on a crate eating bologna and cheese sandwiches in a one-bedroom motel. It was probably like $10 a night. But, you know, I told that story to Sweet Pea. And, you know, Sweet Pea passed away about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, yo, man, you know, we, like, the whole city was just gravitate towards a television, because when you saw him out there, he made me and everybody else believe as a child that we could make it out and we could do anything that we wanted to do. And I always said that to him when I saw him, Hall of Fame boxer, man. And he meant a lot to me as a kid. And then getting to the professional level, it was, you know, for me, Jerome Bettis. The first day I got there, it was just, listen, nobody's going to manage your career like yourself. And Jerome was one of the first guests that we had on.
Yeah, because of you.
Because of me.
Yeah.
And I have so much respect for that man, for everything that he's done in my life and supported me the way that he has. And just in life, we're not even talking about football. And you get him on the football field and he runs out of the tunnel. And it's like, listen, man, I got to match this man's intensity.
Yeah.
The way that he plays the game, I got to match this man's intensity. Just the way he runs into the stadium, you got to up your level of play. Just watching him go about his body of work. And then for myself, man, from a teaching standpoint, I always say Terrence Mathis and Courtney Hawkins. Because I came into a situation to where Courtney Hawkins was a starting wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers at the time. When I came in, they gave me the playbook and just made me the starter. You know, this man was supposed to be upset and disgruntled, and on the flip side of that, he took me under his wing and actually nice taught too. Me how to play the game.
Courtney Hawkins.
Like, I had a coach in Brad Kowski, who was TJ's OC in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Coach Brad.
Yeah, Brad was my coach, but Courtney Hawkins and Terrence Mathis taught me how to play the wide receiver position. You're talking about, you know, these guys can be Hall of Famers going on down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they embraced me, I would come to the sideline, they'd be like, yo, big fella, you can't do that. And they taught me. Like, that's how they talked to me, you know what
right.
I mean?
Hey.
But they was instructing me and teaching me and giving me the knowledge of the game, and I will always respect them and love them for that, because they didn't have to do that. They could have just, you know what, man, bump him. He's first round pick, high draft pick. He took my position. It was the exact opposite. And I took that, what they taught me in my career, and raised the young lads coming in the same exact way, because, you know, if you don't teach them, then how are they going to learn?
Yeah. That's dope. That's dope. For me in the league, like I said, growing up, I had the honor and fortunate nature to have the bus when I was growing up as well. But once I made it to the league in that locker room, I tell you what, Daryl Green, Marco Coleman, and Bruce Smith. When I was doing that interview with John Randall, how we got there was me talking about how Bruce Smith used to take me everywhere with him on our away trips. He would take me everywhere. Like, come on, young fella. You know, you guys know how Bruce talked, right? Bruce Smith, hey, come here, young fella. All right, we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna go over there. We're gonna go hang out over there right now. So make sure you're downstairs and in the lobby when you need to be there. All right, guys, I'm not gonna wait on you. Right, like Bruce right. hit you. Yeah, okay.
You know Bruce wide open.
Okay, I got.
He got that little voice.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we're gonna make sure that we got a car that's ready to take us to where we're going. Don't worry about it. We'll make sure we're on time. We'll make sure we get up out of the meeting room and get to where we're trying to go. But you're paying for it. You know what I mean, L.A. You paying for it though. So here's the thing. Bruce used to take me everywhere. I didn't realize in college, when I pass rushed in college, I had strategy. I played chess. Always been a chess player. My pops taught me chess at an early age. So I always approached things from a chess perspective. But I never knew what I didn't know. So when I was pass rushing in college, I would use speed, I would use power, and I would use quickness. But I never thought to use my hands. And I never understood what using your hands meant until I got to the league and I started being around Bruce Smith. I called Bruce Smith. Once we got close and I wasn't in awe of who he was and he became my teammate, I nicknamed him the Black Rubber Band. And the reason why was well, the reason why is that, well, Bruce is well, he's the Black Rubber Band. And for what it's worth, he looked like an elastic person when he pass rushed. I watched him pass rush one time. He wrapped his arms around the dude and he spun him around when his arms came from the dude's body, and then he was going to get the sack. Couldn't understand what happened. I almost, if we were to watch it on film, I'm standing there watching. I'm not even making a play. You can blame some of the plays that I didn't make being in awe of some of the guys that were doing the things that they were doing out there on the field. But Bruce used to always stop and be like, look at it this way. Do it this way. He's the first person that put me on a goalpost and start saying, work on this, work on that, work on the club and rip. This is the shoulder. You got to get that other opposite hand up in there. You got to lean up into it, and then you got to rip up through it. You're setting everything up. Everything is what it's supposed to be. And he said, and you know what was the coolest thing about what he used to say to me was, we would be doing that on the field, and we'd be talking about it in the meeting rooms. But when we would be out and we would be hanging out, this dude was brilliantly and strategically showing me how all that stuff he was teaching me to do on the field applied to me doing it off the field, which I thought was the dopest junk ever. Shouts out to all the old heads and all the people that take their knowledge and their wisdom and they pass it on to other dudes, man, and give guys like us the opportunity to believe and dream that we could be and achieve what we want to achieve. That's ultimately why we do this show, is that we want to be three of those voices that actually give back knowledge every single time we come on this show and do what we need to do, because the kids matter, the adults matter, everybody matters. As a parent, you can be a dope parent. As a player, aspiring player, no matter what sport it is you play, no matter what your gender, race, color, creed is, no matter how much money that your parents may make or have, you all have a chance to do something great and special with your lives. And that's what we really stand for and what we really believe in. So I have thoroughly enjoyed doing these interviews with our legends, and I'll continue to do that and make sure I bring it as closely home as we possibly can so that we can get the feedback from TJ and Plex on what it is that we hear, because it's just an up-on-game community that's continuing to build. So shouts out to that, and shouts out to Ram, guys. You know what? It's that time of the year. You got to get off the couch. You got to get into that stadium parking lot because it's football season. That's the best time to go tailgating. So do it right. Pack up the coolers, the grills, the widescreen TV, and load them up into your Ram. The truck brand redefining what trucks can be. Ram leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked the Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. First time a truck brand has ever scored that high. So Ram trucks, you know, they have that rugged durability, so you can haul whatever it is you want to haul, but it also has super luxurious interiors to make the drive every time you go to a game pleasurable. Get behind the wheel of a truck brand that will turn heads every single time you roll up to the game. Get ready for football with a Ram truck. You want to learn more about what Ram has to offer? Well, visit ramtrucks.com. For 2021 JD Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. You are listening to Up On Game. You've just been blessed by the smooth voice of John Randall, and oh yeah, and some feedback from long-haired Pantene man TJ Hutchmanzada and Stretch Armstrong himself, Plexico Burris. On the other side of this,
ooh,
yeah, we're going to touch on this whole Congress thing. What is Congress talking about as it applies to football? You know, it always gets a little sticky, a little hairy when Congress and sports are mentioned in the same sentence. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. Yeah, man. You want to stay away from that. All right, here we go. Take y'all to the break with a nice little music sound bit. Nice little spinner sound bit. There you go. Here you go. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know when you listen to the podcast, you don't get an opportunity to see how lit and how turned up we be on the radio show, but Iowa Sam be back there killing it on the ones and twos. He brings us in. He gets us right. So if you are checking out the podcast, we appreciate you checking out the podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Make sure you tell a friend. But make sure you try to tune in on Saturdays as well to check us out. And then you can hear the intro music, the bids that we come in and go out with. And then you understand why we be like bobbing our heads, and you can feel it through the microphones and into your ear holes, you know,
peace
all that
to
good
my brother,
stuff.
Push a T, get them pushed.
Another,
straight out of Virginia.
Another Virginia
Beach.
You know what I mean?
In the house, 757 finest, baby.
Hey, you know why Pusha T can keep pushing it at the age that he's pushing it right now? Tell him why, TJ.
We all know why.
Tell him why, TJ.
He's defying aging with them drive. The supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Get M Drive.
All right. Get M Drive. And here's the thing, right? This whole government deal, I'm curious to see how this all pans out. All right, so it comes out Congress is seeking documents, information from the NFL's investigation into the Washington football team. We all know about the fallout of what took place with the John Gruden emails being released. I just quickly, guys, because I know we're up on the break, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. What do you think the end result that they're seeking as the government would be to get these documents? I ultimately would like to know what the other emails are saying. But with that being said, what is the government getting involved? I mean, don't they got enough stuff to worry about? There's this thing COVID-19 going on. There's government shutdowns looming, all kinds of different stuff that be taking place in politics. Why are they sticking their nose in this? What do you think? Is there an agenda here?
The NFL, they have this antitrust exemption, and all sports do. And I believe Congress is just putting it over their head. Y'all know y'all have this exemption, so you guys better do right or we're going to force you to do right. And that's all it is. I don't believe anything will ever come of it. Because if they're not releasing those emails, there's a lot in those emails they don't want us to see. Very simple. They don't want them released. They won't be released.
Mm.
Yeah, so the NFL is basically saying that they are refusing to disclose anything about this investigation and all these John Gruden emails. It appears that these emails are more common than what people are thinking. And the Congress is saying, listen, if y'all don't want to give us the results of the investigation, we are going to start issuing subpoenas.
Mm.
This thing could get nasty.
Mm.
It could really get ugly for John Gruden, the NFL. Like, this man's integrity and his dignity is like he's on the line.
Mm.
And if this thing is deeper than what we think it is, woo, it's going to be a whole lot of undressing of a whole lot of powerful people.
Oh, I don't want to see him naked. But I tell you what, we're going to talk about Baker Mayfield. Is he going to get that contract extension? Pretty left hook, Shakur Stevenson. We'll be right back. Fox Sports Radio.